In a slight departure from my normal MP3, my weekly MP3, discuss the Parsha. This week I'd like to address the Chag of Chanukah, the miracle of Chanukah. In particular, the face-off between Greek culture and Judaism. And I would like to paraphrase a sicha, a speech, delivered by Rav Lichtenstein. Actually, 33 years ago, he gave this speech. In 1974, he delivered this speech in the yeshiva at the Chanukah Mesiba. And I think it's an important idea, or important set of ideas, to address. Very often, when Chanukah occurs, you'll hear voices, Rabbanim, Divrei Torah, in complete dismissal of Greek culture. It's a face-off between our culture and the Yevanim, who wanted to Hellenize Judaism. It really was the first time that Judaism came into contact or into conflict with an organized, noble, alternate cultural system. Until this stage, Judaism had fended off paganistic cultures, barbarians, armies. But this was the first time that man had developed an alternate, organized, efficient, one could call it civilized, way to view his world and to organize his universe. And the great miracle of Chanukah points to the enduring nature of Judaism, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revealed will, that whatever systems man creates to view his world, to define his existence, ultimately are eclipsed by the Melech Malchei Hamlachim's system for life revealed in his Torah. That being said, it would be a terrible mistake and just dishonest to ourselves to simply dismiss the entirety of Greek culture and sweep it under the carpet. So much of our modern world, from science to math to just basic worldview, I'm not discussing highfalutin to grandiose philosophy, just the way we view our universe, so much of our world stems from Greek culture, so much of Western civilization. So even if a person doesn't see in Western civilization the kernels of divine truth or some expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma, just simply, you're all sitting in a house now in some structure, and that house had to be constructed based on an engineer's recommendations of how much wood, how much steel, an architect, and almost all these mathematical principles were developed by the Greeks. So the house you live under is part of Greek culture. And if you want to dismiss or deny Greek culture and its influence upon your life, then maybe you should walk out of the house and live in a hut. So, as with everything else, oversimplification can be a bit misleading. The notion that anything and everything Greek is impure and meaningless is simply a lie. It's a lie to ourselves. And therefore it becomes more important to highlight and sharpen what are the differences between Judaism and Greek culture? What are the touchstones which discriminate or distinguish our world from their world? And what were we really, really fighting for during the miracle of Chanukah? Not just to speak general terminology, we were fighting against secularization. No, there was a different culture, and it's a culture which has endowed us with much, but there were two or three fundamentals of that culture which were dangerous to Judaism and which were important enough for us to sacrifice our lives for. I'd like to address three such issues. The first issue is the question of aesthetics. Greeks appreciated beauty, but didn't just appreciate beauty. But their eyes were riveted to beauty, to aesthetics. Whether it was the beauty of nature, the beauty of order, which they tried to impose upon a universe which had been chaotic until that point. Man hadn't really developed the mathematical, scientific, nor philosophical tools to organize his universe. He lived in fear, and paganism was a response to that fear, looking for some support in physical beings invested with divine essence. Or, of course, beauty in the human body, notorious for sexual impropriety based on perceived beauty, or not perceived, actual beauty, but inability to restrain themselves in the presence of such beauty, both classic heterosexual behavior and then more deviant homosexual behavior. Now, a Jew or Jewish outlook also appreciates beauty. We certainly employ and appreciate the aesthetic in our lives to enrich our lives, to enrich our religious service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our shuls are meant to be majestic. Our shuls are meant to be reflections of that moment of standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of its splendor. But our basic view is not an aesthetic view. Our basic view is a moral, substantive, ethical view. We try to judge people not by the way they appear and their beauty, but by their content, their value system. We look at our world not through the lens of beauty, but through the lens of morality. When a Greek sees a forest, he sees tall trees and shorter trees, different colors, beauty, symmetry, contrast. He's looking at a piece of art. A Jew does not begin with art. A Jew sees a forest and sees life, the sustenance, the provision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Poseach es Yodecha u'masbi'a l'chol chai ratzon. A Jew sees an ecosystem, a very fragile and delicate ecosystem, which is firmly supported by the Melech Malchei HaMelechim, Mechalkel Chaim B'chesed, Mechayim Meisim B'rachamim Rabim. When a Greek would see a city, he would notice the beauty, the houses, the sunset, the... We don't ignore that, but that doesn't form the cornerstone of our worldview. When we see a city, we see families helping each other, a community supporting one another, people living, enjoying the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by extension, extending that rachamim to others. We appreciate beauty, but we attempt to incorporate that beauty as an enriching agent. It enriches our lives, but not as the primary yardstick for judging our world. It's a very important pasuk when Noach awards blessings to his sons. Of course, he punishes Cham. He rewards Shem and Yafes. Shem was the progenitor, the ancestor of Jews, and Yafes was the ancestor, amongst others, of Yavan, of Greece. So Noach says, Yaft Elokim liYafes v'yishkon bi'ohalei Shem. That God will award beauty to Yafes, but he will reside within the tents of shame. Very interesting contrast between a culture surrounding beauty and physical appearances, the culture of Yefes, the culture of Greece, and a culture surrounding the study, encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the attempt to imitate or to absorb HaKadosh Baruch Hu's morality, Mechalkel Chaim B'chesed. Greeks saw the universe and saw beauty in order. Jews saw the universe or see the universe through a moral lens and see the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu supporting Olam Chesed Yibaneh. It may seem like a subtle difference, but it is a crucial one. And it is crucial precisely because in the modern context, more and more we're becoming shallow and external, and we judge people by the way they look, by the way they dress, by the attractiveness of their body, rather than who they are, their soul, their value system, their morality. So the first difference between Greek culture and Judaism is the difference of an aesthetic view versus a moral view. Yafta lokim liyefes v'yishkon bi'ahalei shem. A second difference surrounds the view of our universe. As I mentioned earlier, ancient man was befuddled, was confused, was intimidated almost by the unpredictability of nature, by earthquakes, by planets, by unforeseen, just simply he felt himself a subject to the whim and the caprice of nature, and he was humbled by it. And his response was paganistic, to reach out to palpable physical gods to provide him with psychological support. The Greeks believed that existence was comprehensible, was conquerable. They began to analyze their world, to organize it, to conceptualize it, to classify. And this is the great advance of humanity, the ability to think about a material world in abstract terms and to develop the formulas, the systems, to conquer, to understand, and thereby predict the forces at work in our world, the various systems of nature and physics, and thereby lend stability and security to the human experience. Lives are far more stable in 2007 than they were in, let's say, 2000 BCE. And the Greeks celebrated their ability to arise above the unpredictable mystery of this world. Everything was perceptible. Man is capable of grasping it all, of understanding the law and the order, the harmony and the beauty. He could conquer and dominate the universe with his intellect. As I mentioned earlier, in this area in particular, we have to be careful not to oversimplify the Jewish response. Judaism believes that the march of science and technology, the Greek enterprise, or the enterprise which the Greeks began, Judaism believes that that is driven by a religious impulse. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to improve our world. And the first step at improvement is analysis, prediction, classification, organization, ordering our world, and relieving it of its chaos. So Judaism doesn't reject that notion. But the Greeks were guilty of oversimplification, of taking a partial truth and casting it as a complete truth. Despite, and in addition, so to speak, of our efforts to organize our universe, to classify, we recognize that ultimately the universe remains a mystery. And as much as we are able to reveal, we aren't capable of fully explicating and fully conquering, and that there are more questions than answers. And that is an attitude that's crucial to the basis of our religion. Because once you adopt the Greek premise in an unqualified fashion, and Western civilization, modern society really has, then the only truths a person is willing to accept are those truths which are rational, those truths which are capable of being self-mediated. Because ration was such a powerful key in unlocking the mystery and in deciphering the mystery of our world, so ration becomes overhyped or over-celebrated. Our Avodas Hashem is based on our faith, on accepting the Masara. We can't assume that the only part of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're willing to accept is that which our rational minds can mediate. That would be religious suicide. So the danger of the Greek view is not just in how it views its world and how we view our world, but the filtration or the infiltration of that attitude, the percolation of that attitude to the world of faith is indeed a very dangerous one. So the second area of difference is, does man believe that his world is fully conquerable and fully predictable, or does he realize that ultimately Hashem's world and universe is a mystery? And more we're able to decipher that mystery, but as with everything else, the more we discover, the more we realize how large the mystery is. Before we were able to mount a telescope on a space center or a space station, we had no clue how vast and how infinite almost the universe truly is. Now that we were able to crack space travel and we're getting glimpses, if anyone wants to go on and Google the Hubble telescope and see some of the incredible pictures from far-off galaxies that telescope has been able to provide, then we have a better sense of the mystery and the unpredictability and inconquerability of our universe. Perhaps the final difference, and it's related to the second difference, but it's slightly different, is not just the organization and rationality of our universe as opposed to its inherent mystery, that we will never have all the answers, but the role of man. Because man, through his ration and through his technology, through his science, his philosophy, his math, had conquered his world, so man was now cast or pitched as the center of his universe. It was a very distinctly anthrocentric world. Man lay at the center, and the world was sort of fashioned to celebrate man's talent and to serve man. Now here, too, Judaism doesn't fully reject that notion. We do believe that man is at the heart and soul, the center of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria. Hashem placed the world literally at our feet, expecting us to harness it, expecting us to utilize it, Very famous medrash that when man was created with his tzelem elokim, with his divine image, whether that means communication, intellect, emotion, whatever tzelem elokim means, it speaks to the area that differentiates us from animals, that makes us angel-like. So the angels began to say praise to man. They thought he was almost a god because he was so great. But even though vis-a-vis nature, we are the center point and we are almost demanded to employ nature. We want to employ nature responsibly. We don't want to be environmentally abusive. But ultimately, nature is placed at our feet. Kol shata tachas raglav. Hashem placed nature at our feet, expecting us to employ it to the advance and to the improvement of the human condition. That being said, man is not at the center of the universe. D'melech Malchei Melachim is at the center of the universe. Man is meant to harness the power of nature to improve his life so that he can submit to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with greater depth and greater profundity and greater richness. He enriches his own life so that he can submit Batel Ritzono, Ritzon Chabamei Ritzono, so that he can submit to a higher will. And that final clause was decidedly absent from Greek thought. For the Greeks, man lay at the center of creation, and the universe was organized to celebrate the power of man. Anthrocentric. Anthro means man, humanity, centric at the center. This perhaps fueled the long-held Western belief that the Earth was actually at the center of our solar system, or our universe, because if man is at the center of his world, then the Earth is similarly pitched astronomically at the center of its orbit. And Judaism rejects this notion, and in many respects, astronomy proved that rejection to be true. The Earth is just a planet. It happens to be the planet, the only planet that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human life form. And on that planet, we are meant to harness the rich resources and material HaKadosh Baruch Hu made available to us to improve our condition. But ultimately, our lives and our interests do not lay at the center of our own experience, but our service and worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hanukkah could be a very, very tricky experience, and beware, be very, very cautious against simplifications. The Greeks represented a secular opportunity, and Judaism rejected it. Independent of how much a person feels, the secular world of 2007 offers us danger or offers us opportunity. That's really not what Hanukkah is about. The Greeks introduced language and concepts that are crucial and irreplaceable to civilization over the last 2,000 years. And rejecting that is simply deluding yourself. But there were two or three crucial areas of difference, be they the question of whether we view the world from an aesthetic lens or through a moral lens, the order and predictability of the universe versus the recognition that the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is laced with mystery, and it is our faith that bridges that mystery, or that is our response to that mystery. And finally, whether man lays at the center of his universe or man is at the center of his world in order that he submit to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chanukah Sameach. I hope this was a helpful primer towards appreciating the miracles of Chanukah.